Acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, cloudy as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 117, Knit Local. Sunday, May 1st, 2016. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. The Yarns at Yin Hu podcast has a Facebook page, and it's available on iTunes. Thank you for joining me today. It's been a little while since my last recording, and I have a lot of news about the Farm and Fiber Tour getaway in Washington County, New York for this episode. But first, as promised, I will be drawing for the Leafy Greens giveaway during the month of April. For hashtag Power Pantry, we have been eating leafy greens and sharing recipes and photos. And to help to celebrate that, and also because of my accomplishment of fixing some podcast technical issues, I put up some beautiful green yarn. It's a gradient set of 5 skeins of yarn from Wonderland Yarns. And I put this up as a giveaway and asked folks to name their favorite green vegetable. And it turns out that Yarns at Yin Hu listeners love their green vegetables, and many people could not name just one. There were 64 entries, and I used a random number generator to identify the winning post, which was post number 58 from Irene. Irene is Bluebird Nest on Ravelry, and she said that there were too many favorite green vegetables to name, but spinach, kale, cukes, and Brussels sprouts. Specifically, Brussels sprouts roasted with sesame oil, garlic, and a touch of tamari, which sounds amazing. They were at the top of her list. So congratulations, Irene. Send me a personal message on Ravelry with your mailing address, and I will get this beautiful gradient set out to you. And you can start thinking about what you'd like to do with the beautiful green yarn. For our hashtag Power Pantry cook-along during the month of May, I will be cooking with rhubarb. Rhubarb is a great spring vegetable that is often treated as a fruit because it's extremely tart and is great for pie fillings and such. And I thought it would be fun to experiment with some recipes, maybe rhubarb in more savory preparations. I saw a nice recipe for a rhubarb scone recently that I think would also be good. So if you have access to rhubarb, cook along with me and share your photos and recipe ideas on the Ravelry thread. If you're in a climate or a part of the world where rhubarb is really not something that you're cooking with at this time of year, feel free to choose an ingredient for the month and try to expand your repertoire of cooking techniques and recipes by just continuing to revisit that one ingredient for the entire month. So hashtag Power Pantry isn't necessarily about following what everyone else is doing. It's about thinking what will work in your kitchen and how you can expand your skill set and stretch your abilities. Yarn lover at large. Well, this past weekend was the much anticipated Farm and Fiber Tour getaway in Washington County, New York. I had been planning the event for nearly a year, after visiting the tour last year and thinking what a good lot of fun it would be to have a number of crafters come along and join me on the tour. So it was a really exciting bunch of firsts for me. I have organized events and retreats in the past, but mostly for writing or thinking about publication. So having fiber and knitting as the background for all of our activities was really a lot of fun. The most important thing about getting this group of people together was just the wealth of experience and background and skill that we brought to this trip. So there was just such a wealth of opportunity in meeting new people and sharing ideas and experiences. I think that was the number one benefit of the trip, getting to know one another. I'd like to start by just mentioning everyone who was part of this wonderful experience. Fernanda, Lisa L., Tracy, Mary Beth, Jacqueline, Jenny, Bridget, Chris, Deb, Lisa S., Candy, Kathy S., Kathy R., Annie, Annalise, Sarah, Haley, Christina, and Jesse. We began on Friday afternoon. I picked up Mary Beth from the airport, and she was so helpful in getting everything set up at the retreat location because I had not seen it before. I had seen some microscopic photos online, and I knew the layout, but I was just a little nervous because I hadn't seen it. So Mary Beth helped me set up everything. And the first part of the weekend together was a communal dinner that we had on Friday evening. We had some vegetarian chili and some turkey chili that I had made. And then the getaway participants were just so awesome in bringing all the fixings for chili and snacks, wine, beer. There was just no shortage of things to eat and enjoy. And we were joined on Friday evening by Carol Foster and her daughter, Abby. They have Foster Sheep Farm in nearby Schuylerville, New York. I also learned how to say Schuylerville, New York this weekend because I had been pronouncing it Schuylerville. And also, Mary Jane came along, and Mary Jane is a soap maker. She makes some beautiful soaps that are for purchase in the yarn shop at Foster Sheep Farm. So they came and enjoyed our communal dinner with us, and we all sat around and got to chatting. And then in the evening, we had some mini class workshops. These were rather informal opportunities to learn new things, but surprisingly, they were very popular with the participants who wanted a chance to learn something new. So Jacqueline Salem of the Brooklyn Knit Folk podcast offered up a mini class on color theory for beginners, and specifically thinking about color choices when you're trying to match fabrics or yarn colors for a project. She had some hands-on experiences, a lot of great tips. She talked about her personal choices when she's picking color, and she answered everyone's questions. People had quite far-ranging questions about color and color theory. So that was a lot of fun. A little bit later in the evening, I held a very informal spinning class, and some folks learned how to use drop spindles or maybe refresh their memory about spinning. And we spun some roll legs together, and I answered questions. And I think there's at least one hand spinning convert from the weekend. So I consider that a really rousing success. In the mornings, Mary Beth, our intrepid hiker, led us on some walks. There weren't a lot of takers for early morning walks, but I certainly enjoyed them. And not having a Fitbit, I was pretty surprised at the number of steps we had in by 9 a.m. in the morning. And then a full day of walking around and enjoying the farms as well. On Saturday, folks split up into groups, and sometimes our groups intersected, sometimes not. We had taken a look at all of the farms that were open for the tour, and Tracy and Lisa were especially helpful in sharing their insights about the different farms and the distances and what we could find. And in the evening, when I saw the show and tell of the shopping that had gone on that day, it seems like, you know, our tastes were really far ranging in terms of the different farms we visited and the purchases that were made. So I went to St. Mary's because I think that's a great place to start, and it's walkable from the lodge location that we had. And at St. Mary's, it's always great to see the sisters, particularly Sister Mary Elizabeth, who work with the goats and sell their products. But also, there is a pretty far-ranging group of young people working on the farm there, and they help to raise the goats. They also show the goats, and they were doing demonstrations. These young people, I think they ranged in age from maybe 6 to 14 or 15. They are so poised and well-spoken and helpful. They can tell you absolutely everything about all of the goats on the farm and about show season. Their depth of knowledge is just amazing, and they're so friendly. And this year I visited with Julie again. I specifically remembered her from last year on the farm because she made such an impression. And I met Ella. Ella is maybe 6 or 7. She is the loveliest spinner. I posted a photo of her spinning on Instagram because I was just so struck with her. She just deftly handled the fiber and maneuvered the spinning wheel at such a young age. It was truly impressive. From there, we visited Breezy Hill Alpaca Farm, and this year I enjoyed my trip to this farm much more than the year prior. The proprietors of the farm are Lisa and David Prue. They were very informative, talking about the alpacas and their mating habits. There's also a shop on the farm, and they had the activity of making felted soaps, which was a lot easier than I expected it to be. And I did come home with some alpaca that I think would be great for making felted soaps, and that would be a good gift, especially around the holidays. We had lunch at Battenkill Creamery. I suggested eating ice cream for lunch, and everyone else in my group agreed that that would be a fantastic idea. I don't think we were the only ones to have ice cream for lunch either, but oh, this ice cream was just so luxurious and delicious. From there, we visited Battenkill Fiber Mill, and Mary Jean Packer is awesome. She had excellent tours of the mill and the mill process going. So we took the tour of the mill and we did some shopping. She has exceptional quality yarns at a really discount rate. And she was also offering some special promotions during the weekend. You can find Bat and Kill Fiber Mills at most of the East Coast festivals. So if you haven't already, make sure that you take the opportunity to visit her booth if you see it at Maryland, Rhinebeck, Southern Adirondack Fiber Festival, which is right in Greenwich, New York. And she processes a lot of fiber for local folks. So she's an incredible resource. We also visited Ensign Brook Farm, owned by Karen Kennedy. She always has great shearing demonstrations going on. And she has a little shop as well, selling some beautiful yarn. I think that quite a few of our getaway folks picked up sweater quantities of yarn at Karen's shop. Later in the afternoon, we visited Foster Sheep Farm. That's in Schuylerville, New York, which is not technically in Washington County, but it's so, so close. Carol's shop was just looking beautiful with a wide array of commercial and local yarns and fibers. She has really a great selection there. And she also was giving tours of her barn with all of the new lambs. She has Romney and Wensleydale and Cross sheep on her farm, and the lambs are just so photogenic, and it was a really nice visit. We hung out there for quite a while and enjoyed a Mexican dinner in nearby Schuylerville. And then we returned to the lodge to hang out for the evening. The evening mini class was taught by Kathy Stanwood, one of my colleagues from the Sheep to Shawl course at Fibercraft Studio. And we had been making the little bunnies that I talked about in my last episode. Quite a few folks had knitted swatches over the weekend prior, and she taught us how to stitch our swatches into these adorable little bunnies. So that was a lot of fun. And in the evening, there was show and tell, like I said. It was just so gratifying that folks on the getaway had thought very carefully about their purchases, were very excited to be buying farm yarns, undyed yarns, in quite big quantities. There was also some fleece purchased, and the commitment to knitting local really came through on this getaway. The next day, we spent quite a bit of time hanging out in the morning. The walk I took that on Sunday morning ended up being quite a bit longer than anticipated. So I was back just in time to be saying goodbye to folks as they were leaving for the weekend or leaving to visit a few more farms. And then there was a smaller group of us who went to Dancing U Farm. That's in the northern part of Washington County. And we enjoyed a farm tour and an incredible three-course lunch on the farm. Louisa and Jody are the proprietors. They work together with what seems like a pretty small staff to keep their milk sheep. These are Frisian sheep. There were lambs there as well because the lambs had been lambing, and there was kind of a progression of the oldest to the youngest lambs. So adorable in the barns. And we got to learn about their process of keeping the farm and doing the cheese making that they do. They're also making some expansions. So they have a mobile chicken cart, and that is part of their farm and also the meals that they make and serve there. And both Louisa and Jody are just lovely people, so generous. The food that we enjoyed was incredible. The only suggestion I would have to improve the quality of that meal is I would have liked more of a speech about everything that I was eating. I think that the folks who attend a luncheon like that are inquisitive people who want to know more about what they're eating. And while everything was delicious, I would have appreciated someone walking me through it, or maybe something written that I could read as I enjoyed the meal to learn more about it. So Louisa stopped by and we were asking her some questions about the meal. It was just incredibly filling, satisfying, delicious, and such a great way to enjoy the company of folks who had been participating in the getaway all weekend and just laugh. And then I think we kind of ate ourselves into a coma by the end. In addition to the knit local objective that I had for this farm and fiber tour getaway, I also wanted to raise some money for a charitable organization. The students at Phillips Academy Charter School in Newark have acquired a kind of die cut punch that they can punch out these adorable little lambs and yearling sheep from a very thick cardboard. I punched holes in them so they were kind of like ornaments, and everyone who participated in the getaway received one of these as a little gift. In exchange, I asked for donations to Heifer International because the students at Phillips Academy Charter School use these ornaments. They typically sell them at events at the school, and the money that they make is a donation to Heifer International. So we did raise quite a bit of money, and I will be sending that off and informing the students at Phillips Academy of what they helped to do. And in the future, I think that I will proceed this way for the getaway, based on the enthusiasm of participants and a number of Yarns at Yinhu listeners who expressed that they would like to join a getaway like this in the future. I am committed to facilitating this event again. So I will be contacting the folks at Christ the King Retreat Center and organizing a stay at St. Mary's Lodge again with pretty much the same trajectory and schedule of events as this year. In 2017, the retreat, or the getaway weekend, I should say, the getaway weekend will be April 29th and 30th, because my understanding of the Washington County Farm and Fiber Tour is that it's the last full weekend in April each year. If you ever get a chance, you can visit the Southern Adirondack Fiber Festival, which features many of the same vendors you would find at Rhinebeck, only a few weeks earlier in September. And if you're the kind of person who would like a little bit less in the way of crowds and chaos, this is a great festival because it's much smaller and it's a little more relaxed and certainly less crowded. But like I said, with many of the same vendors and shopping experiences, and a lot of the great folks whose farms we visited this past weekend are there with all of their farm yarns and hand-dyed things and homemade products. Two things that I expected to happen on the retreat didn't really happen. One was knitting, and the other one was recording things that were happening by taking photographs. When we were relaxing at the lodge, I just found that my attention was drawn to what everyone else was doing. And I did a little bit of spinning and a tiny bit of knitting, but nothing really substantial. And it turns out that I didn't really mind because I was enjoying myself so much by seeing everyone else's projects and talking to them, that it didn't really matter. I just felt like knitting is something that I could always do on my own later. I think a lot of the retreat participants, however, did get some projects underway because there were so many things to look at and people were consulting each other about tips and techniques for their projects. So that was really exciting to see. The other thing was taking the photographs, and I was so busy visiting and socializing that I didn't pause very many times to take photographs. On the way home from the trip, I was thinking about how disappointed I was in myself about that. But then over the course of this week, I have watched some video podcasts, and they include amazing footage and photographs of things that happened on the trip. And I just couldn't be happier than to see that participants on the trip had really enjoyed themselves and taken the time to document what they saw and what they were doing. And so I will link to two episodes, and I suspect that there will be a third that I will link to later. One is a video cast by Jacqueline Salem, who has the Brooklyn Knit Folk podcast, and she also does some special episodes that are sort of like video compilations. And she completed one this week all about the Washington County Farm and Fiber Tour. It's beautiful, it's thorough, and I highly recommend that you watch it and you watch Jacqueline's other podcasts as well. Jacqueline's podcast is a new one, but I highly recommend that you get on board and start watching. Another podcast that contains some footage and a lovely description of the events of the getaway is the Ichigo Abroad podcast. Lisa Lessard, who is one half of the Ichigo Abroad podcast, she's known as Saratoga Knitting on Ravelry and Instagram. She just speaks so thoughtfully about what I mentioned as the objectives of the getaway, really meeting people and exchanging conversation about skills and products, learning something new, and just kind of taking time away from our usual schedules to do something enjoyable. So I will link both Jacqueline's podcast and Lisa's podcast in the show notes to this episode on yarns@yinhu.com. And we also had another very new podcaster, Candy. Candy has the Pause for Stitches podcast, and she has one complete episode in which she mentions that she's about to go on the getaway. And I think that she will be talking a little bit more about it in her upcoming podcast. So I'm going to mention that and provide links as well. Candy is also a classmate of mine in the Sheep to Shawl course. So if you'd like to see and learn more about Sheep to Shawl, her podcast is certainly one to add to your list. I can't end this segment without a message of gratitude for all of the getaway participants. Over the course of the weekend, I was thanked many times. And all I kept thinking was, no, don't thank me. Thank you. Thank you for taking a chance on a getaway that had never happened before, for trusting me to put something together that would be interesting and comfortable. Thank you for being content with the spare accommodations. It certainly wasn't a fancy retreat at all. Thank you for sharing your knowledge by teaching or taking part in a mini class. Thank you for reaching out to folks who came to the getaway not really knowing anyone and extending yourself in conversation and making a new friend. Thank you for sharing food and beverages and bringing so many things to make the retreat special. Thank you to those folks who had attended the getaway before, in particular Tracy and Lisa and Jenny, who were offering suggestions about farms and explaining distances. And thank you to Fernanda, who brought a hand-sewn project bag for everyone who attended in really fun and fabulous fabrics. So everyone picked something special. Thank you to everyone who brought items for the swap table. Really great stuff that people were excited about taking away and charging up a new project, or, you know, helping them extend their craft a little bit. I'm just so grateful to have been among such an extraordinary group of women. On the way up, I was, you know, of course, going through my mind all of the things that I wanted to remember and thinking about all the things that might go wrong or might disappoint someone. And finally, with this year of balance approach that I've been trying out, I just slowed down and remembered, okay, the first and most important thing is there will be great people coming. It's going to be great. Everything's going to be fine. And it really was. And so that's what gives me the fuel to start planning for this event next year, and the fuel that will sustain me with these new friendships throughout the year.
Acorns are dropping off my Jenny's house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
I will be attending the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival on Saturday, May 7th. I look forward to meeting listeners at the podcaster meetup if you happen to be there, or anytime if you happen to see me. I'll be wearing my Yarns at Yinhoo field bag, and I will have buttons for anyone who would like one. I'm really looking forward to hanging out with Emily of Fibertown and purchasing my first fleece, my very first fleece, so that I can finally get started on the Shackleton project. I have a couple other vendors on my list, and it will certainly be a great day hanging out on Spinner's Hill and seeing all of the sheep. I really like the attention to sheep and farming that I find at Maryland Sheep and Wool. It's a much more spinning-focused event, I think, possibly because of the time of year, and I'm convinced it's really going to be a great day. So I look forward to seeing some of you there. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, I hope you will consider leaving a star rating or a review on iTunes, or liking the show's Facebook page, or joining the Yarns at Yinhoo group on Ravelry. The music for the episode is Sweet, music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.